listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the True Word of God with Apostle Vernon Whitaker and my lovely wife, Pastor Betty Whitaker, First Church, Fivefold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The address is 1689 Biltmore Street, 34984. And you can reach us at the church at 772-777-4431. You can go to our website, and the address is www.church5.com. And our Sunday school start at 7:30 on Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning service start at 11:30. I'm sorry, Sunday school started at 10:30 a.m. And our Sunday morning service start at 11:30 a.m. And our Bible study start on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And we will pick up Bible study in October, the first Wednesday in October. And also, you can hear us on Sunday morning service at blogtalkradio.com/Apostle Vernon Whitaker. And he also reaches at the radio at 772-221-1100. And if you would like to help us stay on this air and send us a donation to keep us on the air, to bring you the true word of God, and you can send it, and you can make it at First Church, Fivefold Fellowship, care of Apostle Vernon Whitaker at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34984. And if you need prayer or want prayer requests, send us your prayer request or send us an email on how this program is helping you. And you can send us an email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. And we would like to thank Robert Joseph of Red Med Pharmacy for being an underwriter of this program, the True Word of God. And they are located at 10163 U.S. Highway 1 in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34952. And you can reach them at 772-333-2740 for all your medical needs. And even if you want to be an underwriter of this program, just give us a call at 772-777-4431 or call me on my cell at 561-718-23. And we will give you more information on how to be an underwriter of this program. So now we want to open up in prayer. So, Pastor, will you open up some prayer before we get started with our lesson this morning, this afternoon?
Good morning, radio listeners.
Yes.
Father God, we come to you this morning praying that someone has an open heart to hear what the word of the Lord is saying this morning. And Father, we pray that any questions that they may have, that it be answered this morning.
Yes.
And Father, we also pray that their hearts receive you.
Mm.
And we want to continue to just bless the people
with
the word of God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Today's topic we're going to bring, and I think it's a very important, because we do have a lot of people that go to church and say they are a child of God, and we go fall upon our knees and we pray unto God, and sometimes seem like our prayers does not be answered, seem like no matter what we say, seem like God somewhere seem like God does not answer. So we need to understand the principle of prayer. And it has been rightly said that the secret of all failure is our failure in secretly prayer. Not just our failure to pray, but our failure in prayer. In the story of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you said that the publicans and the Pharisees are one of those who prayed long, who prayed often. But he was miserable failure. His prayers were never heard by God because neither he nor his prayers were ever right with God. So now we need to come to the point. It's not by how long you pray or how good you can pray, but are your prayers right with God? Do you really understand the principle of praying? And I think it was Awesome Smith who said, when we work. But when we pray, God's work. So that means that we put God to work when we pray. So we got to learn how to really put God to work. And God, and I, and Jesus said, whatever we pray in his name, that the Father will do it. So we got to learn the right principle and the right way of praying so that God can move on our behalf. And I know sometimes when we pray, sometimes God don't move because our prayers is not right. And throughout history, the men and women that God has mightily used has been people who know how to pray. I mean, seriously pray. And for whom prayer was both a priority and necessary. So we need to make sure that our prayer is a priority and necessary, that we learn how to pray. And as we study the gospel and the training of the disciples by the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we find that prayer is to be a vigilant part of the disciple life. Prayer should be a part of your life. Prayer, let me repeat that again, should be a part of your life. We should be able to understand the principle of prayer. And most Bible believers, Christians, recognize and accept at least that we need an importance of prayer. And we read the book of prayers, and we talk about prayers, and we ask for prayers from time to time. But somehow or another, the church today is anything but a praying church. We may have a few real prayer warriors. And this is what the church really needs. We really need some prayer warriors. Somebody to get up and pray for the pastor, pray for the church, pray for the members in the church, pray that the church be healed, pray for the church finances, pray that people's coming to the church, pray for the people's in the church, pray for the brothers and sisters, pray for those who are sick, pray for those who are going through trials and tribulations, pray for marriages, pray for school, pray for our police department. We need some prayer warriors in the church.
Exactly. And that's why intercessory prayer is so important.
Yes.
And that's why leaders should be able to recognize the gifts that are in certain people, because you have intercessory prayers. There's people that praying, you don't even know that they're praying. But how do you get these how do you as a leader get to recognize who that person is that intercedes for the church, for the ministry, for the people? Anybody that talks about people, the love of people, the love of the ministry, and they're constantly coming to you and saying, Pastor, I'm praying for you.
Yes.
I'm praying for you. You have to be able to recognize that and give that as an assignment to that person, because everybody's not an intercessor, prayer warrior.
Yes.
It's just like Apostle was saying, they intercede for the ministry, for the people, for the police officers, for our nation, for the local government. So we have to recognize these people in their rightful place.
Yes.
Because they are truly prayers for the ministry.
Yes. And leaders are to recognize and know who are prayer warriors in their church. Because when you see somebody that really prayer, there's something about that person. That person have such an anointing or such a glow around them. So we really need to understand that prayer. And we need to know that the vision and this discipline of biblical praying are committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, how somehow or another escaped the body of Christ. And we talk of it necessary, but too often we fail to accomplish its reality. We need to know that we really need some prayer warriors. A good church, I'm talking about a good church. A good church will have prayer warriors. And prayer warriors will go in before the service and begin to just pray into the church and begin to usher in the Spirit of God and begin to just pray for those that are sick and pray for those that are homeless and those that are being abused and those that don't have no place to go and those that are lost and those that have no hope and those that have no joy. We need some prayer warriors in the church. We need to get back to the basic, the principle of prayer. And I think that principle of prayer should start from the leaders. The leaders must be, I say again, let's park the bus right here for a moment. Let's talk about the leaders. Now, the leaders must be prayer warriors. How can you teach somebody else to pray when you're not praying yourself?
Exactly.
How can you usher in the Spirit of God? How can you get people healed when you're not praying yourself? So in order to get prayer warriors, you must be an example of yourself. We should be able to understand that a prayer warrior, we need to start from the leaders and be able to just pray. And you should have a prayer life. You should be able to come into the church and be able to just pray and help somebody get through. And once your congregation see that you are praying, and this is what I truly believe, and I try to do this every Sunday, but sometimes I can't do it. Sometimes I have to help drive the van to go pick up folks. But what I like to do, I like to go into the church maybe about 15, 20, 30 minutes before church start. I'm talking about leaders. And go in and just begin to just pray. And just begin to just pray. And just begin to just pray so that the atmosphere.
Prayer changes the atmosphere. Yes.
Set the atmosphere.
So, it changes the tone of how the service is going to go.
Yeah.
Because I believe that in order to meet people where they are, you got to see their condition as they come in to the sanctuary. And some people are so weighted down and they're going through so much.
Yes.
The conditions. I just want to talk about some of the conditions that the Holy Spirit will allow you to see as people even come into the sanctuary, because they're suffering. Some people are suffering with mental illnesses. Some people are suffering with alcoholism, drug abuse, all kind of things that are on people. And these things, the leaders or the intercessor or prayer warriors, their eyes, their spirit need to be trained to recognize some of these things that are coming into the sanctuary.
Come on, Pastor.
So that the Holy Spirit will begin to move and will begin to change them or to uplift them, to even heal them if they want to be healed.
Yes. Because I remember in the older church when we did have some prayer warriors, And you went out and you did something that you ain't had no business doing, or you come in and you went out and you sinned that night. But when you come into the church, them old prayer warriors can look at you and the Spirit begin to talk to them, and they'll come over there and they'll begin to just pray for you. And you'll be trying to figure out how in the world they figure out how they know what you did last night, because they have that relationship with the Spirit of God. So we need that back into the church. And another thing that will be helpful to the congregation is when the congregation come in and see the leaders are praying, and then that will encourage them to go into prayer. So if the church come in and see the leaders is not doing nothing or not praying or just sitting around, then how are they going to learn how to pray? But we know that the disciples of Jesus Christ, they had this the same experience. They too fell short in their prayer life. And they felt it deeply. In the lesson that we're going to look at Luke 1, and Luke 1 says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now, the request of this unknown disciple who was probably acting on the behalf of the entire group. And here is a very important passage for learning some of the key issues of praying that are so critical to our walk with the Lord and fulfillment of his promises. And like we say, and evidently, this disciple, he must have felt something that was missing in his life. He must have felt something that was not quite right in his life. for him to go ask the Lord to teach him how to pray. And this disciple obviously he has heard that John has taught his disciple on prayer. And they too wanted to be instructed. But there was not something more or something more deeply that provoked this request. As we open our Bibles and if we read and started with Matthew's and we read through John, we will never find any instance where the disciples asked the Lord how to teach us how to witness, teach us how to perform miracles, teach us how to teach. But in this passage, we do find that one of the disciples asked the Lord, teach us how to pray. And this is what we are here today in the true word of God, so that we can help somebody understand the principle of prayer. How to pray. When should we pray? And what should we pray for? Because a lot of times we just pray and pray and pray. I remember a lot of times when I used to pray when I first got into the gospel. And one day I was praying and praying, Pastor, and seemed like my prayers was not going anywhere. You know, like we say, seemed like my prayers was hitting the ceiling and coming back down. And I knew something wasn't right. I just felt it in my spirit that when I was praying, something was not right. My prayers were not going where they were supposed to go. So now we need to understand that when Jesus Christ, when he prayed, he is teaching us the principle of prayer and how should we pray and what manner that we should pray. And these are the things that we need to understand in our prayer life, because there's power in our prayer life and there's a relationship in our prayer life. There's a maturity and growing in our prayer life. And I understand a lot of people say, well, I want the anointing. I want to be anointed like you. Whether it be anointed like me, you have to stay on your knees and you got to pray. You got to increase. Come on now. You got to increase your prayer life.
That's right.
And when you increase, guess what you're doing? You're communicating with God.
A lot of people think just because you know, prayer means that you have to get on your knees. No, you can just sit and you can just meditate on the word of God and you can just begin to talk to God, just like you're having a conversation with somebody that was sitting before you, or, you know, you're talking to your husband or whomever. You know, it doesn't take much. All it says, just open up your mouth, talk to him, tell him, speak to him about the things of life, very issues that may even come across. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows what to pray for, so he gives it to us.
Yes.
The more we talk, the more things become, the more the Holy Spirit just begin to saturate us, and we begin to just cry out for people that are in distress, people losing their jobs, losing their minds, going through life issues. Not only that, even the church.
Yes.
How do you think, you know, people that are in, even in the law enforcement, you know, a lot of times it's the prayers of the righteous protects our policemen out there on the street from a bullet.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right.
From a stabbing.
Yes.
From a setup.
Yes.
God will turn that thing around through someone's prayers.
Right. Yes. And we need to understand that one of the principles that govern the life of Jesus Christ, we can find that in John chapter 5 and verse 19. And it says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. So now here's Jesus saying, I'm not coming to do anything on myself, but whatever the Father will is, and then that's what I do. So we got to learn how to put the Father first and not put self into our prayers. And this is one of the things that we got to understand. This is one of the principles that govern the life of Jesus Christ. And if we turn to John chapter 8, and we read verse 28 and 29, then said Jesus to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always these things that please him. So now we have to do the things that pleases God. So we have to be some self-denial. We have to be some self-righteous. We have to understand that it's not about us, but it's about the Father. So this is one of the principles that govern the life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is teaching us how to get the principle of prayer. So now we got to be able to let self die down.
Leave
and
self
increase. Come on now.
Yes, yes.
And increase in the spirit and increase in our relationship with the Father. It have nothing to do with you, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, they went out and they prayed long and they prayed hard. Why? Because they wanted somebody to see them pray. They want somebody to say, oh, man, he can pray. That man know he can pray. But it's not about that. So they was more into self instead of pleasing God. And Jesus said, what I come to do, I come to do what the Father wants me to do so I can please the Father.
Amen.
And so this is what one of the principles that govern his life. So now we see that Jesus Christ always had our prayer life. And we understand that it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to communicate with the Father. And that means bringing in the power of God, the Father, to bear on the humanity of Jesus Christ moment by moment. So now we need to understand, if we want to bring in the power of God, we need to have that communication. In order to have that communication, that means that you must be down on your bending knees. Now, I heard the pastor say that sometimes you can pray anywhere. You can pray riding in your automobile. And I know on some jobs, they require that you cannot pray. But one thing that I know, I used to pray every day at Pratt Whitney. One thing I know, that I can always pray in my mind. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
They never can ever, ever take what was in my mind. They could not control my mind. So if all I do, I sit there and just begin to pray, and nobody got to hear a word they got to say. But me and the Father hears everything that I think.
He knows.
He hears everything that I speak. So now I just begin to pray. Even in the doctor's office, you need to learn how to pray. Even those folks who want to play instruments, you need to pray and ask God to anoint your hand and let your hands be anointed. Even when you sing, Lord, anoint my voice. So we got to be able to please God and just begin to pray everywhere in any situation. So we got to be even those that I know that we know that cannot hear and cannot speak. Come on now, somebody.
Come on now.
I know that they pray. We may not hear, but guess what? God hears their prayer. So we can pray within ourselves. It's necessary that we got to speak openly, but yet I can pray within. It don't matter how I pray, but God heals me. But when I pray and I'm praying honestly, God.
I want to get a prayer
through. I want to get a prayer through. So when I get a prayer through, that means that my prayers have to be right. And when the prayers are right, God have no other alternative but to move. He got to work because you are requesting him to do whatever you are we praying for.
Asking him to do. That's right.
Come on now.
Amen. Come
on
now.
On Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18, here it says, behold my servant who I have chose, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentile. So now here's another principle that we see in Matthew 12, and then we'll go to verse number 28 as well. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. So now we got to know and understand that the principle of prayer is what we really need. We need to know how to pray. We need to know when to pray. We need to know what prayer to pray and the right way to pray. One thing that I do know, you can't go to God no any kind of way. Come on, church. You just can't get down your knees and tell God anything and think that going to please God. It does not work like that. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. I had to learn that for myself. Now, when I go
to
God, I had to have my heart right, my mind made up. And when I go to God, I go to God and be specific in what I want to pray about.
Yes.
So we got to be able to do what God has called us to do. Come on, church. Come on now. Let's park the bus right there. And that's why we fail in our prayer. That's why sometimes when we pray, God does not move. Because I understand that our heart is not right.
In Luke 11, verse 2, he gives us a way to pray.
Yeah, the pattern of prayer.
A pattern. Mm. He says, when you pray, mm-hmm. say, Our Father,
come on now,
which art in heaven,
yes.
hallowed be thy name. Mm-hmm. Your kingdom come, your will be done, mm. as in heaven,
yes.
so in earth. Mm. Give us this day mm-hmm. our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us.
Yes.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, this is the pattern. So this is just the beginning, and we're coming to a closure now. But next week we will continue.
Yes, we will.
With the pattern.
Yes.
Of prayer.
Yes, yes.
Are we gonna how yeah, we should pray?
Yeah, we're gonna go into that prayer to kind of break the prayer down and understand why Jesus tell us this how we should pray. And sometimes we say, well, this is the Lord's prayer, but it's really not the Lord's prayer. It is the disciple prayer. It's the prayer that he's teaching us how to pray. And we want to thank Robert Joseph of Red Med Pharmacy for being the underwriter of this program, The True Word of God. And they're located at 10163 U.S. Highway 1 in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34952. And you can reach them at 772-333-2740 for all your medical needs. And once again, this is Apostle Brandon Whitaker, First Church 5-4 Fellowship, the true word of God. Have a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the True Word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the True Word of God.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually. That means you are dead toward God. That means that God can't communicate with you. You can't communicate with God.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.